from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
That's right. We are your hosts for Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And my name's Rich.
We do a little radio show here on KFNX just about every week, I think.
Mostly.
Yeah. Luckily, no basketball's been pushing us out. I think hockey's the big thing right now, but we have a show, so that's fantastic. If you want to learn more about the show, go to chatterboxgameshow.com or chatterboxers.com if you want to make it easier. And, well, we got stuff there. You can join in the live chat. I might even do that later in the show today. You can also listen to our podcast, iTunes, and website, and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, we talk about video games. There's some stuff that we haven't been getting to the last couple weeks. I know, Ara, you want to get to a survey of some sort.
Some house cleaning.
I love surveys, and I love terrorizing people with them, so maybe we'll have a little bit of
both. We've been talking about the survey for a month.
Long time.
And never got around to it.
About 2 years.
And as usual, more shenanigans have occurred on Xbox Live. We'll talk a little bit about that. Ara has a nice story to tell.
I've got all different categories of shenanigans on Xbox
Live. Last week, I was telling stories about how gameplay changed due to glitches and achievements, which means achievements in themselves ruined my game, which was kind of frustrating. So that's one thing. And then we've got more Xbox Live stuff that Ara had. And then there's a bunch of stories lately. I guess you guys came in all like prepared with stuff to talk about.
I got
crazy
stuff to talk about.
That's
stuff's
wild.
Happening.
We run a professional show here, my friend.
Can I tell you a story that's totally unrelated to video games?
Do it.
Until I cut you off.
I can probably shrink it down to like half a minute. So for the last year, I've been wearing glasses with the wrong prescription, and I went and got my eyes checked today, and I'm so happy I'm going to be able to see properly now.
Now you have a prescription?
I haven't gotten the glasses yet, right?
Your eyes might
like,
hurt for a little while.
These have not been correct. At night, I couldn't see properly.
Well,
It affected my game playing because my TV's giant, right?
Yes.
But how far do I sit away? Like
I think,
10 feet away?
I think it's because you bought a blurry TV.
No, it's not that far away.
I think that's why your game playing is
It's got to be 10 feet away.
Yeah, maybe 10. It's not 12.
Fine.
Whatever.
About 10 feet away and still like...
I think the blurry LCD technology is affecting your game.
I sit like 5 feet away if I can. Like,
yeah, I don't think that's right.
I actually...
Anyway, I'm very excited to be able to have my eyeballs given back to me when I buy new glasses.
That is good.
I actually don't have... I don't have glasses and I can't see well at night, so...
Your eyes might hurt for a while.
It sounds like
I actually see.
You get some.
No, it's fun. I see something different from each eye, and it kind of makes a little stereoscopic image.
Yeah.
When I look at both my eyes.
Well, that's neat. Fun.
Yeah.
Get time. Get some glasses.
All right. So I gotta. It's not often that I am left wondering things, and I have to ask people questions. But
are you being serious?
The other day. No, I'm being pompous.
Okay.
So. The other day, one of my games on Xbox Live got updated, right? And then so there's this new dialogue box that I never saw before. It was Brain Challenge, by the way, but that's not important.
On the Xbox?
Yeah.
Brain Challenge?
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Is that an Xbox Live game?
Yeah.
You spent money on an Xbox Live game?
I have bought...
That is the biggest news of the week.
I've spent money on three Xbox Live games, brother.
Did you buy Outrun?
Wow.
No.
Okay.
That's not.
By the way, before the end of the show, I want to arrange for our listeners to join me to play some Catan because I can't find any players to play Catan, and it's a pain in the ass.
After what you said last week, I think they're just going to try and mess with you. But anyway, check this out.
I'm on.
This is the biggest non sequitur I have seen in the history of legitimate dialogue boxes. Okay.
I'm scared that we might not be using non sequitur properly. Can you explain to me what you mean?
No, it's you'll see.
I gotta say, if we are using it properly, I still wouldn't get it.
It's probably that's because it's a non sequitur. Okay. So when you try to quit this game, right? It gives like it asks you if you're sure.
I can't quit you.
But it does it in the strangest way, right? It asks you if you really want to do this, and now this is a standard. This must be a standard Xbox Live dialogue box because it does it in, you know, that boring gray graphical format, right? That all the...
So you try to quit the game and it gives you a message.
Yeah, and now here's your choices when you want to quit the game, okay? And you tell me what the hell they're thinking because I can't figure it out. Your first option is, yes, comma, let me out of here. Okay, makes sense, yeah? Okay. Your second option is no comma. I've done great things! Exclamation point. Wait, what? What does that even mean?
Yes, get me out of here. No, I've done great things.
That is not in any other game that I've ever seen.
Suppose I was playing Brain Challenge and I had truly done great things, although I find it very hard to believe it's possible in that game. But even if I had, why would I want to keep playing? I don't know. It makes no sense. Is this like, is it because they're French? I don't know. I don't get it.
It's like, I've been doing really well. I'm going to take a break for a while. Wait a minute. I've done really great stuff. I need to keep playing. Like,
all right. Well, you've baffled me.
Yeah. It's just like, what is it? It doesn't, it's no,
I
don't
know. Write to them and find out.
I don't even.
Brain Challenge though?
I don't even.
Really?
It's good. I mean, it's really rough. It's a little rough around the edges.
Like,
but
I understand on your DS or something, you're laying in bed, you want to play some fun game, but like you're sitting down at the Xbox, you got all sorts of choices.
It's good.
Okay, what are the other two Xbox Live games that you have?
I bought Zuma, which I regretted because
it really was perpetually boring.
It's not so much that it's boring; it's just that the stages are designed so that basically one stage will take you hours and hours and hours. Which is just ridiculous. The pacing is just all wrong.
Dude, I have been playing some Peggle.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. DS version, by the way, has a special feature that the Xbox doesn't. It's strange to me. If you get five of the, you know, the purple score pegs? If you get five of those in one level, then you go to some special underground, like, thing where you collect a bunch of gems.
That doesn't make sense.
Anyway, it's in the DS version.
But
some special underground thing.
One thing about Zuma, I just have to say is, it's not a good game.
It's by the way, it's also a ripoff of a game called Puzz Loop.
But
that's right.
One, at least it is a game, and it's better than about 80% of the quote unquote community games.
Well, it's not a community game.
I know it's not a community game, but I mean, it's a lower end Xbox Live Arcade game. It's like it's one of the worst. One of the worst arcade games.
Here's the problem with Xbox Live Community.
But it's still better than the community games.
The fart machine and the massager, those aren't games, and people shouldn't be getting money for them. There should be a review process at Microsoft to see whether or not they're allowed.
Wait, why are you even making that comparison, Rich?
I've just been so frustrated.
That is even more a non sequitur than this crazy dialogue box.
No, he's done great things.
I'm just saying, the community games are so frustrating, and I've just... Oh, I just hate them so much.
It upsets me that... So I go over to Rich's house, and he's got like 50 games downloaded on his system. They're all community games.
But why? What do you expect? I mean, they're community games.
Well, there's a couple of them that are really good.
I know, but they're not like solid gold games.
But there should be some sort of like Microsoft going, no, this is terrible. You don't get money for this. Well, nor should anybody pay for it.
Yeah. Well, I think that if I may venture a guess, I'm guessing that, you know, since it's a relatively new feature, they probably wanted to have a sufficient volume at the beginning. And I'm guessing that they're probably going to raise the bar, as it were.
Here's what they should do. Silver members can go onto Marketplace and get all sorts of games, right?
Yeah.
Just like gold can. I think gold should get free access to all of the community things that people put up there. But all of the, well, not all of them, but a lot of the ones we see right now that are absolute crap just shouldn't have been given a price point. They should have been free for gold members.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the games that actually cost money or that are worth a damn, they could be given price points.
Yeah.
Right. And it'd be great. $3, $4, whatever. That would make some sense to me. But charging like $1 or $2 for the fart machine is just...
Yeah,
you know what the funny thing is about all this microtransaction stuff? I mean, I really have no sense about how well it's doing in the macro scale. But just on a personal scale, right? I don't want to buy something just because it's cheap. In fact, I'm just as hesitant to buy it.
There's got to be a prostitute joke we could inject.
If it was a dollar, right? I'm just as hesitant as if it was $5 or maybe even $10.
Yeah. That's because you and I value money.
Yeah.
Well that's because true. You value money. I have the same feeling, and that would be because I value money. But not everybody is like that. Those are the sort of people who are in debt and don't pay off their credit cards every month and that sort of thing, which I'm sure is probably a majority of our listeners. So sorry, guys.
Yeah.
You know, start paying off those credit cards if you want my respect.
I don't know. Let's
See, that's why microtransactions don't work for you and I, and why I was so surprised that you said you had bought three games. Like, I bought Catan.
Actually, no, I think I got Poker for free, so I didn't actually buy that one, so that's two.
That's true. Well, I have a bunch of games that I've gotten for free through some means or another. I'm not sure. Like, I get a code for press or whatever, but there are a few that I've bought. Braid was one. Catan was another. That may actually be the sum total of the games that I've purchased. but... Like, Catan, I play a lot, and unfortunately, it's full of bugs, and the company was let go of from THQ recently, so they're not ever going to fix it. Right. They never did in the 2 years they were around before anyway. But still really good. Braid is also fantastic. Carcassonne would even be worth something, and there's a bunch of other games I'm sure would be worth something, too. Like Worms, for some reason, I still have never played, but we did just get it on PlayStation 3 Network, PlayStation Network, by the way. They gave one to us, so that's awesome.
Cool.
I will try that with you someday, Ara.
Yeah, yeah. You know what else is interesting? It's like I find myself, and maybe it's because I'm frugal, and you may have the same feeling about this, but I find myself I don't like to have a poor ratio of games that I've bought versus how much I've played them. You know, in other words... If I bought a game, I feel like I should play it substantially before I go out and buy another game, right? I don't want to have like 10 games laying around I haven't played yet. That feels very inefficient to me.
I'm with you, although I still do it a lot.
Well,
I have a lot of games like, I'll totally play this. This is worth it. $6. And then it just sits in the wrapper. Grand Theft Auto 4, still haven't played. We'll be right back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader. KFNX, AM 1100.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. If you'd like to call in, you can give us a call at 866-536-1100.
We're doing that already?
I'm doing that when I want
to. Just jumping right in?
Just like that.
So if they call, are we going to make them wait until the fourth segment?
I don't know. That's up to Alon.
All right.
Well,
call at your own risk.
Call at your own risk.
It has to be relevant, man.
If you call about stuff we're talking about, then you'll get put to the front of the line.
You think I should just let every caller jump in the middle of a sentence? Oh, we've got a caller. Bring him on.
All right. So I'd like to do this quiz.
No, we have to delay it.
Oh,
because I have to talk about UAT, the University of Advanced Technology, and their website, uat.edu, where you can learn more about the programs that University of Advanced Technology offers. That's it. Now you can talk.
And before we do the quiz, though, just really quickly, let's talk about Jesus.
Jesus.
Ah.
Now.
I just let him into my heart last week. He gave me heartburn.
Apparently, Xbox Live has let Jesus into its mechanical heart.
I've heard.
Because I was playing Forza 2 the other day, and, you know, you meet a lot of people when you play online. You know, never mind the fact that I had to basically visit about 20 different rooms before I found one that, like, that either didn't kick me out or didn't crash the game or something stupid like that.
Wait, they were kicking you out?
It's a mess. It's a whole thing. We can get into that later if you want. It's a whole... I don't even want to get into it right now.
Okay.
But... So anyway, apparently Jesus Christ likes to play Forza 2 as well.
That's a fact.
Which is surprising.
Except his car floats.
Well, I always imagined that he piloted a VTOL, you know, but that's also another discussion. But, you know, more specifically, capital J3... S-U-S, capital Christ, zero, com, decided to send me a friendly message over Xbox Live.
A text message.
Telling me about how I should, you know, accept Jesus into my heart, and because he died on the cross of Calvary for me, and I should say thank you for that.
Yeah.
And so I said thank you in my own way by reporting the user for harassing me and sending me spam.
Not well enough. I really think...
Well, you really like to go all out. I mean, you want to, like...
Because you did the automated thing that doesn't... Like, they don't know why you're upset with this guy.
Yeah.
You need to send an actual message. I imagine... Is there Xbox support identity on Xbox Live? Could you send a text message through Xbox Live to Xbox support?
We should just email Major Nelson and be like, lols, this guy,
I don't think
we don't
so,
like
but
him.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, I want to use enough brain cells to mention it on the radio, but
you
I didn't
really
care
You should write an article about
to.
That, actually, for our new site,
Golgatron. It's good.
You still have the text message, right? You didn't delete it.
No, I didn't delete it, and I have a picture of it.
Please
anyway.
Don't ever delete it. So, well, yeah, but well, I want a picture on a real camera.
Well, we got it's a real camera. Come on.
Dude, we need to post that, and I wonder if we can get like everybody to send in complaints about the user.
Okay, so anyway,
and then get
well,
them
I would
banned.
Like everyone to send in their pictures of crazy text messages they've gotten over Xbox Live. I told you guys a long time ago, right, when I was playing poker, and did I talk about this last week even? No, I was telling
remember.
Somebody else about this. So, some long time ago, when I first started playing poker on Xbox Live, which is probably like when the Xbox first came out. Xbox 360, I mean, I was playing late at night and I ended up in this, at a table with just three people, myself and two others. And it was very clear that there was this old dude picking up on some young chick. Like, we're talking mid 40s to versus 16 year old. Yeah.
Real life, not the virtual.
Well, Xbox 360 poker, right? But there was some guy, like, they don't have human representations in the game, so it was just voice. I just heard these two people talking and I immediately knew I should not talk. And I let the old, I'm guessing 40-something guy, continue to try and hit on and pick up on this, like, probably 16 or 18-year-old girl at this virtual poker table.
Nice.
And every once in a while, the old guy would say to me, oh, this probably isn't the table for you. You should probably leave, you know. There's a discussion between us. I was just like, no way. And I was scrambling. Like, I had it coming through the speakers on the TV, not the headset. And I was scrambling to get equipment to record this, to plug in the right wires into my computer and make it happen so I could play it on the radio.
You should leave. That guy has got balls.
Yeah. No, and unfortunately, I was using this literally hacked up audio video cable for the Xbox at the time because my roommate was all crazy and using the optical. And anyway, long story short, didn't get it set up to actually record until like the minute they decided to drop out. It had been like 20 minutes, by the way. That's how
shame.
Poor I was
That's
getting this set up. But it would have been beautiful radio. And I think stuff like that, there's probably a lot of interesting exposure to put on our website would be interesting. So let's start.
That would be nice. Yes, let's do
that.
I'll
convince you to make an article and then I could go places.
You already have. All right. So let's do the quiz before we run out again.
Quiz.
So maybe this will become a weekly thing. Maybe we'll just say it will. And it won't, but we'll see what happens.
We're going to talk about, what are we talking about now? The money made
so
by CEOs?
What the quiz this week is, how much do CEOs make? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you the name of the company and the CEO, and you guys are going to guess how much he made last year.
Okay.
Not including...
This is based on
bonus.
Their taxes?
Not
actually,
bonus.
I don't even know if it's including bonuses or not. So let's just say, let's just leave it straight
just
up.
Money
right?
stuff, man.
So let's start with something easy.
Okay.
Actually, it's not going to be easy, but let's just go anyway. Majesco, okay?
Majesco?
CEO Jesse Sutton. Guess how much Jesse Sutton made last year?
Majesco?
That's right.
$12.
Okay, that's Rich's guess. What are you going to guess?
CEO, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. What is the money?
We've got about six of these to go through, by the way.
I'm going to say under $1 million.
Okay, that's a cop-out answer. Give me something better.
Why is it a cop-out answer? Ask me the same question for Bobby Kotick from
yeah, what is it going to be? Over $1
million. No, but
okay,
like...
Okay, that's fine.
I'm going to say between $500,000 and $1
million. Okay. What about you, Rich?
$12.
$12, okay. Alan is correct. You were actually not far off.
I think a $500,000 range for a CEO.
$943,000.
I knew it would be close.
I knew it.
So,
I didn't really know. I just guessed.
Next up is
Majesco?
Midway. Look, it's a company.
He's a CEO, man.
The guy made almost $1 million.
And I'm sure it's public.
You can't talk like that
about
Majesco.
Okay, so next is
like,
next
that's respectable.
EA?
That's run a company. You're not stealing islands. You're just making some money. That's
right.
Good.
That's just right.
I would
that's
like
right.
to make that one.
Okay, Midway. We all know Midway's been in some trouble.
Midway.
Okay. Matt Booty.
Spell Booty?
B-O-O-T-Y.
Wow.
yes, sure, if I can read my own handwriting from 3 years ago. Okay, guess how much he made last year. Now, I'd like a dollar amount this time.
Even
please.
Though they've gone bankrupt.
Even though.
$1.2 million.
Hey, I'm pondering
that's
music.
Rich.
You said 1.2.
Yeah.
1.2 plus $1. No, I'm gonna go with 2.3.
Okay, you guys are both way off.
Really?
Way off.
5.7?
387,000.
Wow.
Really?
Yes.
No, I thought this was going to be one of those stories of him totally stealing the bank, even though his company was going under.
Okay, so you guys lost one life.
That's more respectable. Okay, no, I can appreciate that.
Okay, now, our favorite Dan DeMatteo from GameStop. Guess how much he made last year.
Oh, they are public. Public company. There's two of them, though. There's two guys at GameStop.
Everyone hates GameStop. Taking all the money from the game industry.
$1.2
billion. Okay, Rich. All right.
Man, he's definitely over a million because that company rakes in the bucks. So I'm going to go... I can't do ranges?
No, just say a number.
4.3.
Okay. You're actually not far off, Alon.
At business school for you.
Mr. DeMatteo made $4.9 million.
All right.
Ridiculous.
That's within a reasonable... percentage.
Now,
I think.
All right, next up.
Range.
Next up is THQ and CEO Brian Farrell. Guess how much he made?
Well, they aren't totally bankrupt, but they have basically dropped everything.
Okay.
Who are we talking about again?
Brian Farrell, THQ. Guess how much he made?
Ooh. 862,000.
I'm writing my answer.
Is it going to be million or thousand?
I'm going to write in my answer. I'm going to cross it out. That's not right. I'm crossing it out with my digital pen. And I'm writing in...
If Alon blows you out of the water this time, again, you can't make up these answers.
What is 1.3 million?
Both of you are wrong. It's a very, very legitimate 2.7 million.
I was at about 50%.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Two more, guys.
I mean, we're dealing with orders of magnitude here.
All right, so speaking of orders of magnitude, EA.
Oh.
And John Riccitiello.
Ooh.
Wow.
Or Riccitiello. I have a feeling I'm going to be visited by some Italian mob bosses tonight.
Crap. I'm going 8.6.
Okay, how about you, Rich?
8.7.
Both wrong. 5 million. 5 million.
Almost. It was less than twice.
Almost very close to GameStop. Okay, now our last one.
Okay.
Okay.
It's Bobby.
You're right. It's Bobby Kotick from Activision.
I already know Bobby is at either 12, 13, or 14.
Guess how much Bobby made?
14.7. I read it somewhere.
Okay, how about you? That's all right.
Yeah.
How about you?
What would you have said? Bobby Kotick?
9.6. I don't know.
Okay. It's actually, you're right, Alon, 14.9. 14.9.
Why is he making more three
million
times
dollars?
EA CEO.
Activision made a lot of money.
They're neck and neck with EA. They're really close.
They're number one.
All right,
dude. They merged with Blizzard.
All right, we'll be back, guys.
Blizzard.
Hello, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one! Woohoo!
And we're back again. So much stuff to talk about. So much. We knew Bobby Kotick made a lot of money. We knew, and now it just caused us to vomit a little bit more.
Yeah, incidentally, that's about 10 million more than any other person in our little CEO roundtable.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But he,
I don't know if Ballmer made the company makes that much money.
He made that company from nothing by buying a big company that somebody else made and making it into something after it totally crashed and burned.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of pretty much what Activision does with their games as well. They just buy what other people did and then just make it the same thing over and over again. They're worse than EA, I got to say, like game quality-wise.
Everyone likes to pick on the big –
because
the
Kotick was like, yeah, we made Guitar Hero and we're awesome and this and that. And it's like,
not
but you
all.
Didn't.
Yeah,
and,
but they're not doing a bad job with it, though.
They haven't done anything different.
No. But they're still doing good things with it.
you know what? They're making money and they're laughing all the way to the bank. And Bobby Kotick is probably laughing back and forth to the bank repeatedly because he has to carry those bushel loads of dollars.
Yeah. And their stock, by the way, if you look at what it was selling for before the giant crash last year and right now, it's pretty much the same. In fact, like I bought it before the crash, and I haven't lost money on it. So.
Which normally, oh, the stock's the same a year later, doesn't sound good, but yeah, given the...
Yeah, the fact that they haven't sunk. The... like, EA is down, like, over 50% or something.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of...
Yeah, they are.
And Midway's just gone.
Yeah, RM knows all
about
that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, 25 bucks.
But yeah, no, Activision is doing very well, considering. All right, so we have a bunch of the other stuff. We did the surveys now that we wanted to talk about. I had talked about piracy a couple of weeks ago and wanted to bring up an email that I got from one of our loyal listeners talking about... So we were talking about the DS and the PSP, right? And the piracy that happens on the PSP versus the DS. And for some reason, the obvious didn't quite hit me that, you know, they have different demographics. The PSP hits like teen to slightly older than teen, the audience that's just primed for piracy, right? And then the DS... little kids usually. Well, I don't know about usually, but it's
PSP
a lot of
just
kids.
That's actually a good observation. Are you talking about maybe this has to do with why the DS is not pirated? So
why it's not such a big deal? Like there were all these complaints, right, about the from Sony and from other developers saying that the PSP failed because of piracy, right? And it most people who aren't being interviewed for this issue aren't saying that it died because of piracy. Didn't die, but said it wasn't popular not because of piracy, but because there weren't any good games for it. What's weird is the DS has plenty of crappy games, but it also has a lot of good games as well. And I don't know if that's... Like, it can't be just because of the different interface.
Well, every system has crappy games, but I think... I know that, at least personally, I have been overwhelmingly disappointed at the PSP game selection.
I agree. I haven't ever really been bothered. Like, I've wanted to play, like, Patapon, okay. And even that gets boring real fast, right?
That got boring to me in about 5 seconds. But, I mean, part of it has to do with the fact that a lot of the PSP games that I was interested in really ended up being just very, like, short-shrifted versions of the PS2 games that I had already played, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, for example, like the Ace Combat game or you know, Wipeout or...
You can play Lair on your PSP when your PS3 is running.
Okay, that's great.
True.
So, I mean, when it first came out, like, I really enjoyed, like, Luminous, and, you know, I played that for a few hours, and then I got sick of it. But, you know, some of these other ones, you know, I would just play it, and I'm like, okay, well, this is kind of like the one I played on the PS2, but I already did this. I don't want to do this again. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
and not as cool.
Our argument is that it's not piracy that hurt the PSP. It's something else. But certainly, piracy has hurt it. Pretty much anyone I know who has a PSP just pirates games. They don't really own any. And honestly, I can't even blame them. Pirating, at least your system runs longer, right? Doesn't have to spin a disc. but then you look at the DS, and I think there's certainly a lot of piracy going on there as well because it's so easy. But somehow they still do really, really, really well. And that's because they have a market that's different. It appeals to people who and kids.
There's 100 million people that have a DS. So I don't know what the number is, but it's a lot of people that have a DS. I think overall there's more people that pirate DS games than PSP games, but I would bet you that the people that pirate PS or DS games are more than people who own a PSP. Like it's a lot of people. But they have – it's, you know, percentage thing because there's a lot higher percentage that don't pirate games in the DS.
Yeah,
but,
I'm with you. And it just – it hadn't struck me before getting this email from – I think his name is Matt. Whatever. He's on Twitter all the time.
I could be wrong with my numbers. I'm just making stuff
one
up.
One of those – are you on Twitter, Rich?
No, I despise Twitter.
Yeah. I'm on
– it's literally worthless.
I'm on
– No, you're obsessed.
I'm on Twitter a little bit.
24/7.
Well, no, here's the thing. My job involves me being on Twitter all day. So in my real life...
And you get paid for it.
Yeah. In my real life, I'm not necessarily on Twitter all the time. But I do once in a while. I have the Seabox Alon account if people want to follow me for my Chatterbox account. I'm on there, and that's the account I use for personal reasons, right? But then I have listeners who are on all the time just telling me about like the dinner they had and stuff, and that's kind of weird.
that's exactly why I hate Twitter.
But then I think I kind of want to visit and have some dinner with you. So when I'm up in Seattle, let me stop by, right? Like, that's what it comes down to. But then they also listen to the show and communicate with me via Twitter. And I like that access. So to my listeners out there, if you're on Twitter, go ahead and listen. I think I've got a link to my account on our ChatterboxGameShow.com site. So do that. Anyway, he explains, well, he actually emailed me, but then I communicated a little bit via Twitter afterwards, just saying thank you. But he made the point that the DS appeals to a demographic that doesn't necessarily want to pirate all the time. And he's like, my kid doesn't think about pirating, doesn't quite know what it is yet. I'm sure it'll hit him one day, right? But for now, he doesn't. And then he also made the point that this also leads to the proliferation of crappy games on the DS. Because more people are actually buying games, you get more crap. I don't know if that really equates, but...
Well, only I think in as much as it just equates to more games being published, right? And I think that you could probably make a pretty good argument that says that, you know, if...
Kids are going to buy crap?
Well, no, I think that the larger the market is that supports any software platform, I think that even proportionally you're going to get a larger proliferation of crap because...
I think it's true because the more potential there is for revenue, the more companies will seek that.
Yeah, and I just think that the larger the market is in general, the more people, even in proportion to the size, there are that kind of buy indiscriminately, right? I think that the smaller niche markets are more largely composed of, you know, these kind of like highly critical, you know, so-called like core gamer types.
So the more you get away from hardcore gaming, the more you appeal to a generic crowd, the more you will also be appealing to a crowd with like more dispensable income or less criticality.
Yes, I think they're less critical. I think that, I mean, people who, for example, are, you know, I'm not going to use that stupid marketing term. It's people who are just rabid video game fans. Huge.
What was the stupid marketing term? I gotta hear it.
Core gamer, you know, or whatever.
Okay.
You know, but people who really like games, I think they're very choosy about what games they buy. And also, I think that they're like myself, they're interested in games in large part because they're games, right? And so I think that they look at them as a product more critically. Whereas I think the more general demographic, right, like this just the average Joe kind of person, doesn't really care so much about what the content is as long as they get some element of entertainment that they're expecting one way or the other. In other words, the game product, I don't even think has to be so much of a game, right? They don't even care so much. They're just like, oh, I want to get Madden. I want to play some football. All right, I'm playing some football. I'm getting some element of that experience out of it. And so they're satisfied, right? Or, oh, I want to shoot and blow up stuff. You know, oh, this game looks like I can shoot and blow up stuff. Or, you know, oh, this game, oh, I can build the American chopper. And then so they get some element of that experience, and they're satisfied. I don't think they ask for as much as, you know, the so-called core demographic or whatever.
The people who actually sit there and criticize a game as they go through.
Yeah, yeah. I just think they don't want as much as we do.
A quick note on that.
You're absolutely right, and I never thought about stuff like that.
If you want a really quick, easy, whatever, like, okay.
I'd like an easy whatever. Please.
I played the demo for Wolverine. I just want to mention this quick because that's a game that literally it's just – you just play it, and you get to be Wolverine. Like, you get to do everything you'd want to do as Wolverine.
I think the word you were looking for was Spunkfest. If you want a quick Spunkfest.
It's the coolest thing I've played. Like, it's the most, like, instantly satisfying game I've played recently. Because, like, I just played the demo. And in it, I punched through a helicopter window, grabbed the guy, lifted him up, and chopped his head off with the helicopter blades. And then I also cut off people's limbs.
This is the helicopter blade. I precisely visualized that anytime
awesome.
I'm thinking about Wolverine.
Because, I mean, you cut off his head. That's awesome. And then, like, blood goes everywhere. Like, that's cool.
all right, well.
Okay, so case in point.
If you like Richard, Wolverine, get I'll the buy game. Rent it. Do something.
It's actually, people are saying it's very good.
Yeah.
To be honest. So I'm...
Yawn.
Sorry, man. I guess it's no Disgaea. It's no brain challenge.
And neither is Disgaea 3, by the way.
We'll be right back.
right, we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
We are back. Back to tell you about UAT.edu, the website for University of Advancing Technology. Rich, what happened at the University of Advancing Technology this week? Last week.
Ray Kurzweil was there, and I didn't go, and he's awesome.
Ray Kurzweil was there. Like,
you denied Ray Kurzweil? How dare you?
I just, no.
These are the things you can see and do if you were to attend.
And don't be like Rich and blow off Ray Kurzweil.
Because the dude's awesome.
You know,
I'm going to tell him you blew him off.
One of the other guys working on Golgatron with us went there as well. Went to UAT.
Yeah?
Yeah. There's a lot of us in the valley, so to speak.
So what are we talking about the last segment? What do we got?
What?
What do we got? What are we going to talk about?
Dude, Ara has a stable of things to discuss. You know, I want to tell our listeners, some people are curious about how you put together a podcast or a radio show.
We just make stuff up as we go along.
Well, that's also true. But every week I have to like put together that little description that comes along with the podcast. And it's my most hated part about putting together this show.
Yes, it's clear to us.
I come up with something that tries to be witty but clearly fails like every week. And at the end of the show, I'm always like, all right, guys, what did we just... Like, it's the end of the show.
Literally,
we're still in the studio.
12 seconds later, what did we talk about?
What did we talk about
Xbox
today?
I haven't told either of you this, but I'm in a trance throughout the entire show. And so immediately when it ends, I have no recollection of the
That
hour.
Might explain how you're that way. I, however, am just apparently an idiot. Because end of the show, I'm like, all right.
No, come on.
An hour just passed and I have no idea what we did.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
No,
I think that your intros are rather
That's why I can listen to my own radio show and get enjoyment out of it, because
we usually talk about a racing game. So you can pretty much include that in most descriptions.
Usually, yes. We mentioned Forza once or twice by default.
Yeah.
And how Ubisoft sucks, and how EA is taking over the world, and how Bobby Kotick has a bad haircut. Pretty much standard programming.
So let's talk about Michael Pachter. We like him so much.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Pachter, he's a good guy.
He's cool.
We like him so much. And
he's a Gators fan.
I will always use any excuse to quote rather extreme and entertaining quotes on the air. So apparently there's some news story on thestreet.com that just mentioned a rumor, because you know that none of those blogs have any real news. It's all just rumors. That
we're gonna make up a blog that is just all rumor.
That basically, yeah, it'd be called a normal blog. So apparently, there's this one rumor that says, "Oh, maybe Apple might buy Electronic Arts." And when I first read that, I was like, "Apple buy Electronic Arts? Holy smokes! Do they even have the? Can they even do that?" Right?
I gotta tell you, that is absolutely true. Like, I guarantee you, it is absolutely true that Apple may buy EA.
And so here's what I did, right? I looked up their stock prices and I looked up their net cap, and I was actually surprised. You know, Apple's capitalization is $118 billion.
They definitely have a big.
And EA is only like 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
So they can. Oh, here's where it's. I knew this yesterday.
So, what are you talking about? I put those numbers together for Yahoo Finance. Yeah. I'm their account manager.
It's common knowledge, right? I knew Apple was big. I didn't realize they were quite that big, but I guess they're flipping enormous. And if they really wanted to, they could. But what's really the most entertaining about this is apparently Michael Pachter commented about this twice. And in both accounts, we've got some entertainment here. So...
He commented on the possibility of Apple buying EA.
Yes. So his first quote is, and this is just beautiful. This is just so elegant. He said, "To say," and this is in the context of the rumor of Apple buying EA. He said, "To say that it is idiotic would be an insult to all idiots."
I knew he was a good guy.
But that's awesome.
But that's not all. He actually apparently commented on Gamma Sutra about this very topic. And then he also said, "Sounds retarded to me. Apple could buy Warner Music for about $3 billion and subsequently control 20% of all recorded music. That makes more sense to the current business model than buying EA for more than twice that, doesn't it?"
What I think is funny is how Apple has suddenly transformed itself into a music company. Rather than a computer company. Yeah. But
well, I mean, they've always tried to claim they're a software company. So, I mean, iTunes is like their big software thing that they, despite everybody saying, "Oh, music's dead, everybody steals it, you can't make money." And Apple says, oh, we're making billions of dollars on music because we made something that people can easily buy music from.
It's unfortunate because I hate that piece of software.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
Oh, boy. Don't ever say that on the radio again. I will punch you in the face.
Ooh, yes. Why? Those are fighting words.
It is what it is.
I mean, it's iTunes.
Way to go.
That is the most dismissive statement you could ever say to me.
Well,
it is a... Ara Zara. Boys will be boys. It is what it is. What can I tell you?
Well, I mean, nothing better than follow-up on dismissive statement.
Well, I mean, it's iTunes. Like, what else is there... it's iTunes.
All right, I've got something...
It's iTunes.
Okay, I've got something else fun.
That's me raising my hands. Whoa. Okay.
All right. We've given iTunes way too much intellectual time on the air.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. I don't think it was intellectual.
Pactor is awesome.
Touche.
Okay.
Okay. So here's another funny little snippet. There's, as you guys might know, maybe you don't know, apparently the Xbox 360, not doing so hot in Japan.
Didn't it do better than the other systems for like 3 or 4 months?
I don't know. But
for a little while.
After that game came out, like Infinite Undiscovery or something?
I don't know. And it wasn't.
It's not. And so, you know, there's some people are curious. And subsequently, in Famitsu, which was the big video game magazine in Japan. It is still. They did a poll. And they polled their readers. And they said, hey, why didn't you buy the Xbox 360? Right? And so they gave... four choices that you could answer this survey from. And one was worried about its future. Number two option was the price is too high. Number three option is no games I want to play. And number four is another reason, right?
This is in Japanese as well, right?
Yes, this was done in Japan with Japanese people.
Just wanted to double check.
Okay, so now here's the funny part, right? Guess what percent of everyone said another reason.
68.
Yeah, I'm going to go with majority.
Yeah, it was about 54%.
Which is like, my friends don't have one, or something like that.
Right, or what I think the real reason is, not made by Japanese people.
Okay, did anyone ever explain what, did they break it down more?
No, they didn't break it down anymore. But really, I mean, it's at, like 35% said they were worried about its future, right? There's about 7% said the price is too high, about 4% said there's no games I want to play. So really, I think that it's... Maybe, I don't know. I'm just going to go out on a limb here. I'm just going to say it's the Gaijin video game.
Yeah.
And they don't like the Gaijin.
What's one thing that's interesting...
I'm going to be racist.
...is that I'd have to look it up, because I think it was written on Gama Sutra, but it might have been on another site that they were doing a study similar to that, where they're basically breaking down how much people play a specific console in Japan. And so they took, people that play Wii, PS3, and 360... And they found out of all the people that owned a 360 played the 360 more than people who owned a Wii or PS3 played those systems. So basically they found that 360 owners were more satisfied or played games more than non-360 owners in Japan.
What I'm curious is if they're playing the PS3, what the hell are they playing on it?
Yeah.
I don't know. But see, I don't think they're necessarily even playing it because as Kotaku
Blu-ray.
Right? So they actually asked a few people, like, what their exact reasons were, right? My favorite one is the one response that was, quote, I have a PS3, period. So why won't you buy the Xbox 360? I have a PS3. That's the answer.
Like, I love Little Big Planet. Great game. Happy I got it. Got the PS3 for it. Other than that, I haven't been... really interested in PS. I got Metal Gear Solid 4 because, like, you're supposed to get Metal Gear Solid 4. But,
yeah.
But I do have to say one thing, and this is totally Microsoft's fault. Their support of their live service on the Japanese side totally blows compared to in the US.
That's what I've heard.
And I know
what do you mean support? Like, there's just not as much stuff to do?
By support, I mean that the amount of Japanese exclusive stuff on there. Even just the volume of stuff online on Xbox Live is so much narrower than over here.
No, because Chippy has a Japanese 360, and he actually has an American 360 with his, like, an American gamer tag, and on that one.
I have a Japanese gamer tag. So
like, has it set up so he looks like he's an American, but he's in Japan because the Japanese Xbox Live has nothing to do.
Yeah, so I can log in to basically the Japanese side of Xbox Live, and I can see everything that's there, and I really feel like I'm going into, Walmart, where, like, half of the shelves are empty.
Yeah, you know what's funny? Fopo who calls into the show every once in a while, just said, also, guys, Japan is kind of anti-West.
And I, this is what I'm saying.
I don't think he understands what the term gaijin means.
Adam West? Perhaps, Anti-Adam West?
Perhaps you should look that up. But so
yes, look it up. We don't explain things.
Something I read about just tonight before the show started makes me wonder if this is perhaps the reason for Japan having less stuff. So Seth Killian was, I guess, interviewing with Joystick or Kotaku or something, and one thing he touched on was Tetsunoko versus...
And this is what, the Capcom community guy?
Yeah. Seth Killian, the like head of Capcom community or whatever, and the Street Fighter guy.
Gotcha.
Good guy. Mm-hmm. He was talking about Tetsunoko versus Capcom and how it's not ever going to come to the U.S. probably because the people who hold the rights to Tetsunoko, I don't even know what Tetsunoko is.
I don't even know what it is. Something anime related or whatever. It is something
but
anime.
But it's part of the game, right? Obviously a big part of the game. He said the company that holds the rights to Tetsunoko, single company in Japan. In America, 13 companies. Getting them all to actually respond and sign the right papers and get it to happen so they could bring the game out here, not going to happen. So I wonder, like, is just this BS lawyer stuff, rights stuff, the problem? I mean, certainly that's why some games don't come out over some other country or why they don't come out over here.
But there's plenty
or vice versa.
Of games that came out in Japan that don't come out here. And they don't do, like, demos. I mean, they do some, but not as extensively as the stuff out here, you know?
All right. Maybe that's not it. It was interesting insight to me, though. We'll never get Tetsunoko.
It is interesting.
So, anyway, I guess we're at the end of the show. I'm going to leave you guys, our listeners, and you two with one question. What is it that we talked about today?
Racing games.
And we'll find out next week, right?
I simply don't remember.
Gaijin, Japanese are racist. That's what we found out this week.
That's... certainly not going to get us thrown off the air. All right. Have a good week, everyone. We'll be back.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.